Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with my guest co-host, Bob Logan. Thanks for being with us again.
Thanks, Daniel. Good to be with you.
Awesome. So if you didn't catch the last episode with Bob, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes, or just look for his name in the previous, all of our previous podcasts. Bob has over 40 years of ministry experience, including church planning, pastoring, consulting, coaching, and speaking, and has recently completely rewritten his book, The Church Planting Journey. All right. So today, Bob, we're going to be talking about the next step, And it's hard to imagine life without COVID-19 and coronavirus. And I know oftentimes our feeds are full of that and what's going on. But rather than focusing too much on that, yet knowing that that is the background and what is in everyone's mind, let's talk about church life for the multi-site and church plants that are listening in, and for the pastors listening in. We need to help people take their next steps spiritually. We need to help people get connected. What are your thoughts on best practices to help people take their next step?
Well, I think one of the key things to realize is that next steps involve usually one of two things, either getting into a ministry or serving in some capacity, or getting into a small group, you know, whatever you call them, life group, community group, disciple making group, whatever. And so what is important is to realize that you can't just rely upon the app or the website as a way of getting people connected. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't, it's very impersonal to say, we want you to be in a group, we want to be in relationships, so go to the app and look them all up and sort it out, and you'll find a group and we'll get a referral for you, etc. Most people don't want to make connections that way. It's a little, they don't know these people. And so the question is really, how do you help people make acquaintances to be able to have the invite be more personal, so it's a safer step forward, either into a group or into a ministry.
Yeah, definitely. There's that personal touch. There's that personal interaction that is incredibly important. You know, you're here. I see you. I hear you. You're not a number. You're not just a cog in the wheel. Now, one thing that our church is doing in the midst of being online and not having that physical lobby space has definitely been a challenge for us. And we're trying to say, okay, in light of this new reality, how do we help people take their next step? So we're about to run these classes, these online classes, kind of a one-off topical felt need driven one that's going to be very much a I see you, you see me over Zoom, and everyone sees one another. But I guess the question that's still looming on my mind, it's on the one hand, we can advertise that, we can email people out, we can share and encourage people to get in that. But it's just how to, in that vein where you're not in a physical classroom, how do you help someone take their next step? How do you help them get into a group when they're not sitting at a table with a bunch of other people?
Right. Well, in that kind of setting, it would be very, very difficult to have the next step be taken just with a one-off thing. And so one of the things, if you could actually get them into an online experience like that, where you have more questions and people are chancing to share a little bit of their story, and you maybe give just a slight bit of input with some interaction and so forth. One of the things that I do in my online groups that I facilitate is I have a little green frog that I use.
Okay.
It's the Koki frog from Puerto Rico, but that's neither here nor there. But the but I like to have people share and virtually pass the frog around.
Okay.
Because I do this in physical groups, but I also do it on online groups and have people share. I just did it yesterday with a group that I was working with in Norway, and they were hunkered into their situation, and I just said, what was one thing that was a helpful thing to you from this conversation? You know, a takeaway, or what's God doing, or what a next step? And I virtually pass the frog to that person and have them share, and then they then share their thing and then pass it to somebody else. And in so doing, it provides an opportunity for people to celebrate and to connect with each other just a little bit more. And then you could ask, well, if this was helpful to you, would you like to meet again? And set a date for another conversation, or decide to meet for just a few weeks to provide support for a particular subject. If you have that kind of interaction happening, these relationships and trust is starting to get built, and people might actually connect with each other outside of the group context.
Yeah, I love that because it's not just a matter of seeing one another, but there definitely has to be that connection and the sharing of the story and the frequency of that for that connection to develop, right?
Correct. And even there, out of the group I was doing just yesterday with a church plant team, and one of the people was sharing some stuff, and somebody said, well, I'd be happy to come alongside of you and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And have further conversation about that. And of course, it's not going to be forever that this isolation is going to happen, I trust. And so the same kind of dynamic can be occurring in real groups as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And how do you hold people there long enough to be able to build those acquaintances in a way that's helpful to folks? Because then the bridge is a lot easier.
Yeah, that's really good. So let's just hear a quick go ahead.
Yeah, in our new church that I'm involved in right now, hands on. It's about 6-7 weeks old. And they had the services, and they started that up, and then of course the whole thing hit. But before that, they were saying, well, how do we help people connect? And they said, well, they're having lunch afterwards, and so they could have a newcomers section for people that are new to be able to meet the pastor and meet some folks and so forth. And that was one way that they were going to do that.
Love that. Now, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll get back right into it. Launching a new church or campus is exciting work, but it can also be hard work, and the details can quickly become overwhelming. Getting incorporated, building your launch team, finding a location, marketing the launch, there's so many things to do. When you partner with Portable Church, they help you navigate all of the gear you'll need so you don't have to get bogged down with the logistical details now or bad systems later. They free you up to focus on what you, as the pastor, have been created to do. Hear God's direction, cultivate a team of disciple makers, and share Jesus with the community. If you're thinking of launching in this year or next, we encourage you to check them out at portablechurch.com/lifeway. So Bob, when we think about when all this, and you mentioned this a little bit before, but when all this is over and lockdown is over, we're all together meeting in churches with one another in each other's homes and all that, do you think it's going to be like it was? Or how do you think all of this is going to affect helping people take the next step? And it's obviously it's a guess, right? Because there's no, I mean, none of us were alive when the Spanish flu hit, or many of us weren't alive with any other pandemic to know how this will affect everything, especially because any of the last pandemics, there wasn't this connectivity online. But if you can kind of look into the future or envision or even think through it, how do you think next steps are going to, how do you think that's going to affect? How do you think church is going to look like when we get back?
I hope it's going to be a whole lot stronger, because it will strip away the non-essentials.
Yeah.
The core is really having authentic relationships, experiencing spiritual transformation, and sacrificial service, generous living. in a way that makes an impact to influence others to follow Jesus. And so I'm trusting and hopeful that, in fact, it will help us to get even more real about what are the key things that we need to flourish as disciples, and that we that will happen as we're reaching out, as and as well as focusing on what's the next steps in our own development. And so I think that I would hope that we would have a lot more intentionality about what we do in helping people take those next steps. For instance, you know, many churches are still using Alpha, and it's, it seems to be pretty effective. But what Alpha begs the question, what's Beta?
Yeah.
And how can you structure Alpha in a way that actually births new groups to launch right out of Alpha? And you could have leaders that are ready to go to be a part of Alpha, build those relationships. And then as the bonding happens and those that choose to follow Jesus will be able to take the next steps in formation of a new community group or whatever you call them. You also can think about, and as you see people coming to faith in that way, you also have to ask, well, what's before Alpha? Because what makes Alpha effective if people are intentionally building redemptive relationships in their spheres of influence? And so how do we help people to reflect more on what is God doing in their life? What's God doing in the lives around them? And how can they take the next steps to be able to cultivate some ground or sow some seeds or that sort of thing? Because the process takes time.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I wonder if we're going to have... for those who do, who are connected in and through this and who do come back, I wonder if there's going to be a stronger sense of self-feeding, a stronger sense of practicing the disciplines of coming back and saying, okay, yeah, you know, there's the encouragement piece. There's the feeding piece. There's the, we are the church. We need to be the church aspect of gathering together. But man, I need to own the feeding of myself. I need to own connecting with God. And I wonder if that's going to be part of the new reality as well.
I trust so. And I wholeheartedly agree that that is the core issue that, that every follower of Jesus needs to take responsibility for their own discipleship. And then to have relationships with others that help facilitate that process so that they do grow. I think the notion of having somebody spoon feed you for years and years and years is a sign of immaturity. That people do need to learn how to feed themselves. That's certainly true as kids grow up. You don't want to still be feeding them. You know, if that happens, if something is seriously wrong. And so I would think, yes, that would be fantastic. And then to consider our relationships with each other more on the order of Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, where we hold on to the hope that we have, and to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and to really spur each other on to be all that God wants us to be, and to carry out God's mission in the world. I think it's a fantastic opportunity we have. And I think that's what I trust will happen as a result of this as we come out of it.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's a good word. Well, Bob, thank you so much for being my guest co-host today. Bob Logan is the author of The Church Planting Journey. Make sure to go to our show notes. Just go to newchurches.com, hit podcasts, and find today's episode number, and you'll find the link for that and for everything else that we've talked about, including previous episode that Bob was on with us. He is going to be on with us for another episode, so be on the lookout for that, and we will catch you next time.